FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
What's up, everybody? It's TFYLP episode 195. We're coming to you tonight with a very tiny cast because everyone's busy.
How dare they have a life?
Yeah, we're going to be talking tonight about con etiquette. It's that time of the year. BotCon is a week away. Most of us on this cast are going to be attending. I think everyone on this current show is attending.
You know, cast of dozen.
This cast of two, yeah, cast but two. A lot of us.
Well, Massey's not going, so we can't count Massey.
Now no one cares. But yeah, so the BotCon hype is real. It's coming up. Everyone's excited. We all get together and have fun. But tonight we're going to talk about how you should behave at the convention.
Yeah.
Because, believe it or not, every year there are those that just don't know how to act. So I'm joined today by Don, the headmaster Don.
I'm excited to meet you. Yeah, and I've been to a couple of BotCons, so it's something I see every year and hope I don't see again, and then I see it the next year. So it's a thing.
Yeah. So the big, well, maybe we don't get the biggest thing out of the way first. So let's start from the beginning and start with you're new to BotCon. Or to any convention, but in this case, BotCon. How should you go about, you know, going through registration, getting your, you know, your exclusives, getting set up, and then starting making your way into the wonder that is your first Transformers convention?
Bring your patience, because sometimes there are lines for registration. Some years is very smooth and it goes very quickly. Other times it depends on your last name, and sometimes there's a bit of a wait. It just depends on a variety of factors. One thing that will help is to make sure that you have all your documentation. Bring your invoice, bring your confirmation slip, bring your package pickup if you've got a Primus package or a Golden Ticket package. Make sure you've got everything that they ask for, so you're not that person who's fumbling through all their stuff trying to find what they need to get registered. So, and that'll help. It's like being in line behind the old lady at the bank, to use the old cartoon cliche, who opens has a bag of pennies and starts counting her pennies one by one. So, you know, just make sure all your ducks are in a row before you get there. And remember, the people helping out are not professional convention staff. They're volunteers. So they may have done this before, but there may be people that are brand new to it. So just remember, be patient. You'll get there. You'll get your stuff. You've already paid for it. It's going to be there.
All right, good stuff. So typically, so you mentioned documents. So typically, what kind of – it was the – what you said – confirmation.
Yeah. And they said when you print out your package pickup, just for whatever time you're scheduled, it'll tell you what to bring. But basically, you need to bring that letter that you're registering at X day at Y time, your confirmation, your confirmation letter, your ID, and anything else it might ask for in that package pickup letter. I buy a 57-cent folder, and I put all that in there, so that way, instead of me carrying a whole bunch of stuff with me, I've got one folder with all the documentation. Because once you get your lanyard, you're good. You shouldn't need anything else except your certificate to go to the club store to get your exclusives. But you'll get that when you get your registration set.
All right. So, next thing, you're in the convention. I mean, the first thing that you're really going to be hit with is the dealer room. And the dealer room is just a giant, you know.
It's nirvana.
Anarchy at the same time.
Yeah, it is. It's the most awesome and most frustrating thing you will see, especially if you're a first timer. And I'm going to. The very first BotCon I went to was the first BotCon in 1994. And by today's standards, it was in a closet. It was a very small BotCon. Everyone knows the history of BotCon. If not, you can look it up online. Everyone knows it's very small. But when I walked into the dealer's room and saw all this stuff that I didn't know about Victory, Masterforce, Headmasters. I didn't know the European stuff even existed, like Turbo Masters and Lightformers and Trackons. I didn't know about Action Master Elites. You know, all this stuff I had no idea it existed. And I walk in, and the very first table I stop at has a Star Saber. I had no idea who Star Saber was. I had no idea who Victory Leo was. But they combined. So, yeah, you're going to be hit with a lot of stuff at once. So just be prepared for, you know, and you know, when the doors open for the dealer's room, you know, there's going to be a mad rush, you know. Just go with the flow, try to be polite. And when you get in there, take a minute and just stop and see if there's any dealers that you want to go. Usually there's a map in some cases who is located where in the dealer room. So try to plan it out that way too.
And so when you're in the dealer room, obviously you're going to be dealing with dealers. Do you have any tips for anyone dealing with dealers? Maybe the way to go about
dealing with dealers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is one of your, you're still sort of new to BotCon yourself, yes. Right?
Yes.
So, but you've actually had a little experience in the dealer's room, but it's still very daunting. Remember, these are people that, this is their, in many cases, this is their livelihood. This is what they do to put money on the table. So we all know that, you know, haggling is part of the process. You know, if you see something you like, it's priced at X and you're wondering if they'll take Y. Be polite when you make an offer. Don't just say, hey, I'll give you X for that. And it's like, you're saying, oh, I'll do you a favor by giving you money for this. No, that's not the way it works. If you see something you like and you want to make an offer, keep this in mind that these are people trying to make a living, and make your offer fair for everybody. So like, hey, if it's priced at $195, ask them, would you consider taking $180 or $185, whatever the case may be. I'm just saying, just keep that in mind. Don't say I'll give you $50 or I'll give you $100 for this. Obviously, for this figure, it's obviously can't talk tonight. Obviously, worth more than that. So, don't be one of those jerks on eBay that sends me an offer of $20 for a $100 figure. Don't be that person.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest. So, I attended. I was just a pay at the door attendee to the 2010 BotCon here in Florida, and I spent most of my time in the dealer room. And the dealer room was really just like, if you're first time like me, it was like walking into a Transformers museum, because there's probably, like you said, there's a lot of stuff there you haven't seen, and then even more. What was even harder to get used to was, you know, trying to make that deal. I really wasn't there with a lot of money, so I didn't really make any deals. I was like, I'm here for one thing.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, and that's something else we can touch on in a minute is the list. But
yes.
Yeah.
But
haggling is an art. You know, I grew up. In flea markets, yard sales, auctions, because my folks and I, we all did antiques before I started working a regular job. So that's something I grew up with, and it's second nature to me. But, you know, just be polite and make an offer.
Yeah. And if they say no, you know, you can counter offer, but don't get belligerent. And if they won't budge on their price, then, you know, pay it or walk away.
Yeah, you know, it's your call. I mean, you know, you may find one cheaper elsewhere. You may not. That's the ups and downs of the dealer room. You know, you may find what you're looking for in a dusty corner of someone else's booth for $20 cheaper, and you may not. But what we were just saying about the list, if you're going to BotCon, chances are there's something in the dealer's room you're looking for specifically. Could be your Holy Grail, could be a better figure than what you've got in your collection now, could be something for a friend who couldn't make it. Make a list of what you're looking for. You know, and try to keep it, you know, as simple as possible, because a list with 50 things on there isn't going to help you narrow it down, you know. So make your list of what you're looking for and priority, and try to budget out. I need purple Galva Lyo Convoy, which is actually a thing, because they actually did a lucky draw version of Lyo Convoy in Galvatron purple.
Yeah.
The year it came out, it was $7,000. Well, there's only one available at the show. It was $7,000. Let's say your limit is $350. You know, at least you might can budge. If you can say, okay, I found one, but I don't need X and Y on my list that bad, and you can maybe put a little bit more towards it. You know, that's up to you. But just have an idea of what you're looking for, first, second, and third choice, and how much you want to pay.
Yeah, it's very easy to spend too much in that dealer room, especially when you're seeing all the things that you wish you had as a kid.
Yeah. And when you want all the things in general, it's like, you know, I want that. It's very, believe me, trust me. There's been BotCons where I have brought back less money because one year I actually had kept my rent money separate because I had to pay rent literally the day that I got back into town. Because that was the last day my rent was due without getting a late fee. And I thought, okay, that's no problem. But I tapped into my rent money because I found something that I was needed. Luckily, my landlord gave me an extra day to pay without charging me the late fee. So I went to my bank and got some stuff out of savings, which I shouldn't have done because I had that rent money set aside. So, you know, you just got to be careful that you don't, you know, eating ramen is one thing to pay for a figure, But when you don't, when you can't pay your bills, that's something else altogether.
Yeah, yeah. I on that subject, I am actually you know, sort of looking at this weekend coming up, and I'm like, all right, because I actually just recently started searching for a home. And I'm like, I gotta be careful. I'm gonna spend a lot of money. I'm pretty sure about that. But I can't spend too much money because I gotta keep some savings.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, it's that's why I said, you know, the list may not survive the first 5 minutes once you get in there and see whatever you see, but it forces you to say, okay, if I left with one thing, what would make that trip worthwhile with that one thing? Because with this being the last BotCon, this is the last. See, even the dogs hate it, and they're complaining too. Pretty much, if you're looking for something specific, a holy grail, whatever the case may be, this is going to be your final chance to probably to find it outside of eBay. So yeah, it's some, but you know, make your list and at least it'll give you an idea of what's the most important.
I'm going to go shut my door so the dogs don't keep barking.
Yeah, we were trying to keep this simple and low key, and it's just, see, he's got dogs barking. I've got, you know, the random Massey attack, so, you know, anything's possible.
When we started this, I made the conscious decision to not close the door. I'm like, it's kind of warm in here when I close the door, and the dogs like it better when it's open. They're usually less fussy. But I forgot someone was coming over. So they started barking.
Stranger, stranger, bark, bark, bark.
You can never win.
Yes, I love you too, boy.
So the big thing to remember, and the good thing to mention is, you know, the payment options. Because I think card is more accepted than it used to be.
Oh, yeah. Back in the early days, you didn't have, you know, most of the dealers, if they took card, it's because they had the old slide.
Yeah.
You know, the old carbon copy manual card processors, and you just sort of hope for the best on that one. But, you know, nowadays with PayPal, you got PayPal squares you can use on your phone. You can have some dealers will send you an invoice through PayPal. For some of the foreign dealers, cashier's checks are still preferred because those are basically guaranteed. Not cashier's checks. I'm sorry, traveler's checks. But again, you want to stick with a major brand like American Express or something that's well known. But don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, don't take just traveler's checks. Don't take just cash. You know, because, you know, one dealer may take this and one dealer may not take that. So you don't want to have all your funds tied up in traveler's checks and then nobody there is taking them because of whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would definitely make sure that you have some cash on you because there's always...
Oh, yeah.
There's always the one or two vendors, or there's probably more. I can't remember a BotCon, but I've gone to a few local conventions here, and you always had those one or two vendors that just don't take card.
And the ATMs are always hit hard at these conventions and for about two or three blocks surrounding a convention center and in the hotels. They're hit hard. So, you know, get your cash early if you need to use an ATM, just in case. Something else has come up in the last couple of years. Now, I haven't used it myself, but a lot of people I know that use it. Those prepaid credit cards. You know, if you know that you may get off the budget train and go a little crazy, put the money you know you can spare on the card. That way, when the card's empty, you're done. It's crappy, but it's responsible spending. And most places will take them like they would a regular credit or debit card. So, you know, you can always do that to make sure I can only spend $400. That's all I can spend, period. And you can put on a card or put $200 on it, carry $200 cash, just whatever the case may be.
Yeah. All right. So I think that covers the dealer room pretty well. Can you think of anything else that you might want to add?
Well, for safety's sake, when you're in the dealer room, watch P. And this is me just being a little paranoid through the years, but you know, watch out for the unscrupulous people that are there, not for the convention, but to pick your pocket. Again, I don't know. I'm not sure what a percentage of this would be. I'm just saying, be aware of your surroundings. Keep your checkbook close to you at all times. Keep your wallet close to you at all times. For the ladies, keep your purses closed. Because you get in a group of people, and a good pickpocket can take advantage of any situation.
Yeah.
Reach into somebody's purse and pull out a checkbook and not even blink an eye. So again,
say as a life recommendation, don't carry your checkbook around. It's the easiest way to steal your identity.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like it, if I need my checkbook with me for like whatever reason, in that kind of situation, it's always in my front pocket because it's a lot harder to get it out of your front pocket than your back pocket.
Yeah.
But again, it's just be aware of your surroundings. Keep it, play it safe. It's going to be crowded, especially on Saturday when the general public comes in. Because you've just got the parents bringing their kids. There'll be baby strollers. There'll be people with the baby harnesses and stuff on carrying their babies around. So just keep your eyes out. Be polite. Be respectful. Because we don't want to be that fandom.
Yeah.
We all know people in whatever that fandom might be that does not convey that fandom well. We don't want to be that. Yeah.
And on that note, you know, be mindful of who you're surrounded by. Just in, you know, if you're surrounded by kids, try not to curse like a sailor.
Yeah, it's just
remember it's a family event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I've actually been in the room where a couple of people were walking by, and they were saying stuff that made me blush, and I was in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
And one of the fathers said, hey, you know, I got two little girls over here. I don't want them picking up words that they don't need to be knowing. So, and the people were nice enough to realize that, hey, they need to tone it down. So, you know, again, we're not being blue. We're not trying to be PC. We're just trying to be respectful of everybody involved so everybody has a good time.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to probably one of the other big draws to the convention, and that is, some of us will be there to meet voice actors, art talent, just the names from the franchise who have given life to our favorite characters. And there are certain ways that you should engage with them, and you should hit it. Sentences, they're fun.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, you're dropping out a little bit.
Am I?
Yeah, just a little bit there. Okay, yeah. I think it just might have been your headphone was a little off or something.
Yeah, it's been I don't know. It's been kind of weathery. It's, you know, sometimes signals get funky when it's rainy.
Oh yeah, I've had that problem too. But yeah, for the guests and stuff, it's. They're there because they love the characters, they love the shows, and that us liking the shows like we did helped their careers in a lot of cases. So, or they were already famous, and this just added to their repository of roles. So, if they're there for the convention, you know, talk to them, be polite. If you're in line to get an autograph, thank them. But don't hog all their time. You know, there's people behind you that want the same things. If you're in a social setting, like after the convention, let's say a bar or a restaurant or something, See, I usually don't do this because if they're there, it's their off time, it's a relax. You know, I might say, I think Gary Chalk. I saw Gary Chalk in one of the lounge areas of the hotel, and I was walking by, and I just said in passing, "Hey, Mr. Chalk, thank you for coming." You know, I spoke in general, but I didn't take up a lot of his time because he was obviously in the lounge. He was reading a paper. I just wanted to thank him for being there at that time. So, Michael, you know, I think you've met some voice actors as well. What do you think as far as the whole off duty thing?
Yeah, it's obviously, as fans, we want to acknowledge their existence. We want them to know that we acknowledge everything that they mean to us. And I agree with you. Like you said, you know, be mindful of it. It's not wrong to come up to them. A lot of, you know, they don't necessarily want you to pretend like they don't exist. We've had, you know, them on the podcast before. We've had voice actors on the podcast before and stuff like that. They like to know, they like to hear from their fans. They're there because of the fans. But remember that they are also human beings and their time is valuable. And so if you see them out amongst the general public, you know, maybe say, "Hi, I appreciate your work," and then move on. You know, don't try not to geek out. Also, try not to be too nervous because that just makes the situation awkward. But just make sure that you're polite and make sure that, you know, you get what you want to say out of the way, but you do it quickly and you let them continue on because they have things that they have to do. Their entire time is not dedicated to you and your enjoyment of what they did. They also have thousands of other fans that are there.
Right. Right.
So just be mindful of their time. Be mindful of everyone else's time. You're there with a bunch of, you know, like I said, thousands of other guests that are there because they enjoy them as well. And they probably want just as much time with them as you.
Yeah.
And if you hog up, if you're just sitting there swooning and hogging up all their time, you're just making it miserable for someone else.
Yeah. Definitely, I agree with that 100% all the way. It's just I guess the golden rule: treat others as you would want to be treated. I guess that pretty much is basically the safest thing to call it.
Indeed.
Let's see. Registration. Oh, about registration. When you get your toys, check your toys. That as soon as possible to check. You know, check your figures. Because, you know, like any production run of anything in the world, things can go wrong. You can get two left missiles, two right missiles. You can get two fists that are the same. You can get, you know, this missing this. It happens. You know, human beings are involved, so therefore stuff will happen. So make sure you check your product, check your figures, transform your figures, anything wrong. Make sure and go see the guys at the BotCon customer service booth so they can help you get everything resolved. Just check it before the convention's over, because even if this wasn't the last BotCon, after BotCon, there's not much they could do. Yes. With this being the last one, yeah, not much.
And remember, be polite. The person that you're dealing with that's helping you with your problem did not assemble your figure.
Exactly. You know, don't say, "Why is this like?" It's like, no. Indoor voice. Yes. Like, "Hey, my thrust is a broken hip. Can you help me fix it? And or swap it out, whatever the case may be."
And thrust ain't gonna get very far with a broken hip.
he'll be thud.
So actually, let's jump back to registration real quick, because I have a situation that I'm sure other attendees will have, and that I can't arrive until Friday, which is the day that the convention starts technically. Mm-hmm. I know typically you go and, you know, you do your registration on, what is it, Thursday?
Thursday. Wednesday, if you got the customizing classes, you can go Wednesday.
Yeah.
Thursday in general for the pre-registrants, but yeah.
Do you know how it works? I guess, and this is a question for me, do you know how it works on Friday? Does it work about the same?
Oh, yeah.
Tips to that?
Yeah, the pre-registration will start Friday morning for those who couldn't go Thursday. And then the club store will open up. So once you register at the and pick up your Promise package or your Golden Ticket package, then you can go to the club store and get your souvenir sets, whatever they might be this year, which I'm really hoping will be some awesome souvenir sets.
I am too.
Yeah, because there's a couple of sets I would like some, because, you know, in the past they've used the souvenir sets as sort of fill-in figures for previous sets when the molds weren't available. There's a couple of figures from the G2 set I wouldn't mind seeing some some figures added to.
All right, so the next thing up on the docket is panels, because there are a lot of panels going on during the convention, and there are several things that you're going to run into. You need to pay attention to the time. If you want to plan them, make sure you plan them out ahead.
Exactly.
Yes, make sure you plan them out ahead.
Yeah, make sure you know what panels are the most important to you and what panels it's like. Okay, it's like, for example, last year, I did skip a couple of the voice actor panels, but I have heard a lot of these voice actors talk through the years. And while I'm not tired of these people by any means, I'm just saying I've heard what they've been saying for the most part, and there was something else I needed to do at that time with some friends who were only down for that day anyway. So I chose to skip a couple of these panels because it was guests that I talked to before. So, but there are some panels like the Hasbro panel. Nobody is going to say, I've got something better to do than go to the Hasbro panel. No, that does not happen. Because we all want to see, you know, Computron, and we all want to see maybe Trypticon, if they've got that far. Who knows what we'll see?
It would be nice.
And who knows what we'll see? But yeah,
I don't also, know if I have space for more city bots.
I just buy more details. But
I might have more space by the end of the summer, but then I might not have the money to actually buy it.
It's the most horrible catch-22 being a toy collector. You buy a house to hold more toys, then you can't buy any toys because you bought the house.
Yeah.
But also on panels, generally the first couple of rows.
I'm sorry. That's all right. This is a boring conversation. Just go ahead and go.
No, long day at work.
Just mess with you.
Well, retail first of the month. You can imagine how busy we were.
Yeah.
The first couple of rows are generally reserved for guests. And now with Golden Ticket, you've got Golden Ticket seating and stuff like that. So be mindful of how the seats are laid out. And if you want the best seat, like in my case, usually I have to sit up close because I just can't see from that far back. My prescription is a 9.25 of anyone who knows eyeglasses. So it's a little heavy. So, you know, I have to be mindful of where I sit. So I try to get there early and get the best seat because of my eyes, but don't stroll in there 5 minutes after the panel things and try to sit somewhere, you know, that you're going to have to make a whole row move or something. You know, if the panel's that important to you, try to get there in advance to get your best seating.
Yeah, definitely. And I would also say, you were mentioning that you've seen some of those voice actors before. If you're in Don's situation where maybe you've seen this, you know, this guy or one of the voice actors, to say Gary Chalk or Peter Cullen, multiple times, consider, you know, not attending. And it's really in that, remember that there's people there who probably haven't and really want to attend. And that's more of just a, you know, it's not a have to. That's more of just a, you know, being nice, passing it on to your fellow fan sort of thing. My recommendation. I know sometimes maybe at that point you really just want to sit down. And that's a totally legitimate you know, thing that happened. But
well, now one thing in the panels, and this need, this is something of a negative. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy, but it needs to be said. If this is your first convention, you don't know what in the past these voice actors have been asked. So that's understandable. But there are a lot of these guests that have been asked the same things over and over and over again. So just be mindful of the questions that have been asked before you get your chance, and make sure you're not doing a duplicate question. And try not to make 14 part questions.
Yeah.
Also, now this is me personally. This is not the guy. This is not TFYLP. This is not whatever. This is me personally. We all love hearing the voice actors do their voices. That's why they're so awesome. But can we cut down on the drive-through questions? Because it seems that everyone's done the drive-through question unless they've never been to BotCon before. So in the interest of streamlining things, you know, let's just, you know, let's try to cut down on the...
Definitely. So,
yeah.
Quick question for me. Over the past few years, so I obviously haven't attended for 6 years because 2010, last BotCon first and last BotCon I went to, and I was a walk-in.
But you picked a good one.
I agree. Except for it was really hot.
Yeah, well...
That's just Florida.
Yeah, you know, Florida, it's hot. You know, that's like saying sand, it's everywhere. You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, but
the G2 set is what I was talking about.
That yeah, it was...
Beautiful G2 set.
Those were, I don't know, funky colors. G2 has sort of grown on me recently. At one time, I would have said G2 was terrible, and somewhere out there... I think Plasticon's ears are probably burning.
Right now, yeah, I was going to say... I think I heard him say, "I told you it was great.
But it's sort of the same thing with like the original Universe line. I thought they were terrible. Yeah, at a time.
How can you hate Purple Silver Bolt?
Oh, I don't. Okay. I love Purple Silver Bolt. I'm sort of in that stage now where I've gotten to where I'm like, all right, I've cut down a lot of lines and I'm sticking to mostly Beast Wars stuff, and now it's like, that's a funky variant. I love it.
Well, now, and you know,
I finally understand that G2 love.
When we talked about this in pre-show over RFC of how much there are several people that all of us know in the fandom who wants that Universe 1.0 Optimus Primal recolor on the masterpiece.
I would buy it. I'm gonna buy any version of that comes out.
Because, you know, they can do clear, they can do burning, they can do the jet black one. I'm sure they can chrome it in some fashion, since chrome is a thing.
Yeah, there's so many options. As long as they get the burning one out, I really want another burning. Well, I don't even have the first burning convoy, but, you know, burning convoy is cool. We got all off topic.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, we've been joined by a third.
Yo.
Wow. A new challenger has appeared.
Yeah. So, we were talking panels and panel etiquette.
Don't play with your toys. I used to do panels for TFCon. I still do but not so much now because we have so much stuff that we don't need panels anymore to pack things up. But I remember when I used to do panels, the biggest problem I which always irritated me was that you always would have people like in the front row with their freshly bought leader class clickety clackety whatever, and they just have to like transform it right there and then, and it's just and like the heavy ratchet joints going off, and you're just like, yeah, so here's Car Robots in 2001, and it had this intro, crack, 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 I am Optimus Prime, and it's just like, oh, you know, like, bro, just go to the bar or something, you know. Well, that's probably even worse for them, but, you know, like, it's just that please don't play with your toys. That's number one personally for me. Is don't play with your toys.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, no, I didn't either. I didn't either. But that
it's like an epidemic for me, because it's just, and even Josh Perez, like him too, like he did a panel for Chicago, and him too, like you could just see like his eyes darting at these two guys that were just like, they just had, I think it was like a leader class Bumblebee, and so just clack 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 clack, like right there and then they're too invested in their toy. Why are they even at this panel?
Yeah.
You know, like,
you know, one thing I'm now thinking of is everybody brings their G2 Megatron.
Oh.
And then all at once everyone does Megatron attack, and it's just the whole room is Megatron attack.
Do the cannon fire shot. Yeah. Just like, cock it back. No, but that's always been one for me. And I mean, aside, you know, everyone, I wouldn't say don't be loud or talk, because everyone's going to be loud and rowdy during, you know, the reveal stuff. So, I mean, there's been some years, man, where like, I remember when we learned that we were going to be getting, I think that was the one where they did it in San Diego. They revealed that we were getting a Cosmos, like the Legends one.
Yeah.
And I remember this kid, like when it's like, oh, and we're going to be having Legends, this kid just got up and he just started shaking his mom. He's like, we did it, mom. We did it. And it was just like, and you know, it's, BotCon's amazing. Like, that's the one thing I'm going to miss, is just the complete insanity that I have seen in the like 15 plus years I've been going to it.
I know. It's definitely. It's just the moments of joy that people get from these plastic things that can give us this unbridled joy. I mean,
oh, totally. I mean,
but now one thing, Daniel, with you worked on TFCon, is y'all have over the past couple of years really got to a format with a moderated panel discussion.
Well, I think that we have to thank BotCon for that, because we looked at what they did, you know, and what really worked well with them. But, and I think that when it comes to the panel stuff, credit is where credit is due. 'Cause we have Michelle, who's like our, we'll call her our panel queen. And she does not take any crap. She's one of those people that before every panel, she lets everyone know, put your toys away, you know, like, and again, the early shows that we did back in the day, there's Massey in the background. Just sorry. Back in the day when we were first doing the panels and stuff, it was an issue. It was like a big issue. And then we learned from I think the one thing that we had a bit of an advantage was that Fun Pub started in 2005, and they don't have, I mean, they have a consistent staff from a sense of internal, but they don't have, you know, like it's volunteers every other year for other stuff. So, you know, it's hard to address problems from a year to year basis. You don't have as much time and experience, but I mean, they still do a good job, but it's just, you know, it's a lot different than when you have literally the same damn staff since 2001 with us.
Yeah.
And we know, hey, remember in 2002 when this was an issue, you know, like everyone knows what we're talking about. That's why custom class is perfect. That's why this is perfect. And BotCon's great too. BotCon knows what they're doing also, but it's just those little differences that, if stuff was more consistent from a staff basis, of course, they probably wouldn't have those issues either.
Well, the learning curve kicks back in every year to a certain degree.
And it applies with any convention, though, really. I mean, I've done Anime North, which is North America's biggest anime convention. I've been going to that one for years. And, I mean, they're someone that has a very similar vibe to BotCon, where, but the one thing with Anime North is just they've had the same staff since, oh man, like 97, you know. Wow. So, but that's just it. So when you have like that, like the same staffs all those years, you learn from your mistakes. At that point, you're a well-oiled machine, and nothing's gonna go wrong. So, I'm gonna miss BotCon though. I'll tell you one thing. Like, it's I mean, when the news came that, like, you know, it's a very strong possibility of it being the last year, like, I was like, oh man, that sucks, because I really like having an excuse to travel, because I'm not someone that travels. I'm not someone that, like, you know, oh, let's go to Paris, let's go. But BotCon gave me an excuse to go to Texas. It gave me an excuse to go to West Coast. It gave me an excuse to go to Florida or Louisville. You know, like, I've never been to Louisville before. And in all honesty, if not for BotCon, I probably never would. You know, like, it's just, I don't see myself going to those places. It's not that I don't like the States. It's just, if I'm going to go to the States, I want to go to Hollywood. I'm going to go to Disney World. I'm going to go to all. So you don't find yourself in the small towns and learning from that culture. And I'm grateful for that, though, because it gave me that experience for Fort Worth, Indiana, or what's the one that was for Texas? That was that Fort? No, it was Fort Wayne, Indiana, Fort Worth, Texas. Excuse me. But yeah, like, it's just, I'm grateful for that stuff, and I'm going to miss that especially, because I kind of see in the future, if there's going to be an American show that's going to stand up to be the next BotCon, I think it's going to be somewhere that's going to be a more consistent one location, like a TFCon Chicago or a DairyCon in Wisconsin, where it doesn't move. It just stays in one spot. So, and I don't blame them. It's a wise thing to do, to stay in one spot, because it's easier to just plan everything year to year, where BotCon really has to figure out their location every time. You know, you show up somewhere and you got to go, okay, we got to make the best with, you know, the oranges we're given here.
Well, so, one thing I've heard in various circles is BotCon is going to become one of those, like, and I've not been to the Star Wars experience and don't know that this, much this about
Star Wars
it.
Celebration. Yeah. That's the rumor I've been hearing from a lot of people, because they're making the connection with what's happening with Universal with Transformers right now, because Universal Studios has their Transformer thing where, and if you look at Star Wars Celebration, they have, like, it's a month long thing, and they have a gift shop, and it has exclusives in there, and it has their own little thing going on. So imagine if they took what Star Wars Celebration was and did that with Universal's Transformer thing that they're doing right now, which they kind of already are. They have a gift shop. There's exclusives there. Mind you, it's been that EVAC for like the past 2 years now.
Yeah. But that's where I got my EVAC from.
But that's what I mean. But I could see it kind of, you know, what's good about that in a sense is, if you're someone that's trying to nurture the future of the brand, and I'm not saying, because the reality is that you could suck up to us hardcore fans all you want, but if you ignore the young generation, you don't build the next generation of fans. One day we're going to stop collecting whether we like it or not. I mean, just by dying even. But if you don't nurture that next generation, they don't grow into Transformer toy collectors, and they end up falling into the iPhone video game hole that they don't, that, you know, this company doesn't want to happen. And Lord knows they've tried many times interplaying cell phone games into their Transformer products, or cell phone games that they've made advertising their Transformer products. I'm still to this day convinced Transformers Devastation, that the game, was one giant advertising to go, hey, we got this big toy, go check it out, and then possibly fall in love with all these other toys that we do. Like, it's them trying to get that video game crowd, because in all honesty, they're going to lose them. And I think that something like Universal, or what Star Wars Celebration does, is you have families that are there, and they're not there for BotCon or Transformers or Star Wars. They're there because it's their vacation. But while they're down there, they're seeing Mickey Mouse, they're seeing Optimus Prime, they're seeing stuff like that. And then the kid goes, well, what's that? Oh, hey, gift shop toys. It's one way to get a new audience that didn't expect to be your next audience. And you do that on a month-long basis, and it could work out great for them, because the reality is that BotCon was solely just catering to us hardcore fans that somehow knew who Farrakh was and somehow knew who Double Punch was and cared, you know, so, or Oil Master. Yeah, so.
All right, so steering back to panels.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. This is TF Wild View. If we stay on topic for too long, you know.
Yeah, then what are
we're
we?
We're not really into it. I mean, that's just this is the fact of the matter.
All right.
But the So Don gave one of his pet peeves, and then you talked about the ratchets. Toys. So I haven't attended a ton of panels. I really only attended a couple when I on my day my BotCon day in 2010. But I did attend the voice acting panel with Colin, and I have two things. First, know your voice actors and who they voiced. Because that year, some girl stood up and asked.
Oh God, yeah, I know that story.
And asked Peter Cullen to have a conversation of between Optimus Prime and Invader Zim, and like he doesn't voice Invader Zim.
Yeah.
So how was he gonna ever do that?
It's the classic like, could you have Optimus Prime going through a drive through talking to Grimlock, and it's just like.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And it's one thing to ask them to just say a famous line. We all want to hear them say it at the end of the day.
Of course.
But remember, they get bombarded with it. But, I mean, really, like, everyone, do this character having a conversation with this character. As a person who was there to experience it on just a single day's basis, that was annoying.
Well, for a lot of those people, it's that one. I guess because we're kind of spoiled, you know, we're so overstimulated as fans because we got all these conventions. Oh, we'll go next year. We'll go the year after. Some of these people, it could be their only time they'll see Prime. It probably like, well, Peter Cullen, and it's their only moment to like literally talk face to face with them. Yeah. So they kind of sometimes they get pulled into that. I'll call it a selfish moment where they're just like, you know, could you do this thing for me? Because Lord knows after I walk away from that mic, you will never make eye contact with me ever again. You know, so and I can understand it from that perspective. Definitely. I know that, hey, with Judd Nelson this year, I don't know how I'm going to be, man. You know, I'm going to be a bag of nerves. I'm telling you. Yeah.
I understand it too, and like I got a kick out of Peter Cullen, even though I don't have that strong of an attachment to him as Optimus Prime. I got a kick out of the panel, and I got a kick out of, you know, listening to him do the voice. And I mean, let's just face it, when he did a whole thing with Optimus Prime and Eeyore, and who doesn't like Eeyore or Optimus Prime?
Well, it's also a voice he did.
Yeah.
Like I mean when he did the TFCon 2015 panel of his, someone brought up, and I'm glad actually this person brought it up, someone brought up that he did extra voices for the Predator movies, right? And someone was like, what does that mean? You were credited for extra voices on the Predator. And then he was like, oh, I was the voice of the Predator. And then he did the voice. And it just like and the video's online. I gotta find it. And it blew everyone's mind because then he lifts the mic up like upside down like this and he goes like, oh, I can't do it for my life. But like he actually did the Predator sound where it's like the clicking kind of thing.
That's awesome.
And like everyone was just like looking at each other like, holy crap, like we didn't even because he was never properly credited for it because in an Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, movie, like that's the top billing, and then like he's like extra voices, you know, like just whatever. It's kind of like incidentals in a sense.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Know your voice actors and what they voice.
I was glad someone brought that up. Someone brought it up because they were just kind of questioning it. They're like, what was that, Peter? Can you tell us?
Yeah, because then another person, there's this little gem that no one knew about.
What another person brought up, like, how do you feel about being the first voice of Super Mario? Right. And he was like, I have no idea who that is. That blew everyone's mind in the audience. And then, like, I think it was Ian, who was one of our panel guys. He's like, he whispers to Peter, he's like, Mario's a big deal. You know, like he's kind of a big deal. You know, it's like, and you were the first because he was the voice of Super Mario in the Donkey Kong cartoon, Saturday Supercade back in 1982. And that was just a job for him back then. He didn't know. And like the way he was doing the voice, it wasn't like, you know, what we know today, the Italian stereotype Mario, you know, like it was just straight up. Just, he's a guy from Brooklyn. He had like, you know, we got to get Donkey Kong, you know, like with his voice, you hear the Peter in there. And the funny thing is, I think Donkey Kong Jr. was played by Frank Welker, which is just, it's funny how that works, where it's, you know, the connection there that all those years later, they're still, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff together. But yeah, like I do agree that they sometimes, I think it's good to, I guess what you probably mean is you want, you know, keep the questions on topic, I guess is the best way to put it.
I mean, yeah. When you're there and you, it's like one person asks them to do the voice, and then another person asks them to have a conversation, and then another person asks them to do some voices with conversations, and about the time you get to the fourth one,
you know what? That's why I usually don't like going to voice actor panels.
Yeah.
Like once in a while, you get a really good gem or a nugget from them. I know, like Goche and Venus Terezo. They both had a great panel, but you know, I've been to a lot of them, and some of them are just like, you know, they're just like, oh man, you know, I never miss a Scott McNeil panel, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, you know,
yeah,
certain guys you gotta go to. David Kay is another really good one, because him and Tara Strong have done so many like My Little Pony conventions together. That's like they got like tough skin for this stuff. So between the two of them, like they could do any room. It could be like the most terrible room on the planet. But like, who do we have? We have Judd. We have David. We have Greg Berger. Greg Berger's another guy too. He gets the classic, could you do Grimlock meeting Cornfed the Pig from Duckman? You know. Who else do we have this year? It's David, Judd Nelson, Greg Berger,
Venus.
Venus, right? Venus is, yeah, she's going to be in it for sure too. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting how the voice acting script reading will be done, because those are all people that have done script readings a million times at every convention. Like those are all people that are very open to it too. You know what I mean? With the exception of Judd, but I think I read somewhere that Judd's going to be part of the script reading also. So that's pretty damn cool, because he's someone that he's getting into voice acting a lot more now. He made his grand return, if you don't count Transformers Animated, he made his grand return in Ben 10, where he was voicing a character. So between the two of them, you know, it's going to be interesting. Be very interesting.
Yeah, so I didn't mean to say don't ask those questions. Just be mindful that if so many of them have already happened, maybe there's probably someone else who wants to ask a question that's not, will you have a conversation with two characters you've played, and just be mindful of that.
But
I know as a person who was sort of enjoying some of the non, you know, do the voice questions, it sort of got old to me real fast, and that's really, like I said, it's really a pet peeve of mine. It was sort of the annoyance of mine, but I just want to say, just be mindful of that.
There's also something else we probably need to bring up, since you're going to be in such close quarters with a lot of people.
We BotCon 2010, the legendary funk. No, to me that was the year that we hit the wall, in my opinion.
It was hot.
Yeah, that was the year that you had a little girl, daddy, why does it stink in here? Like it's been good since then. But that, to me, like Evangelist said at the bed, it was wet diarrhea on the rug. Like he couldn't describe it better. You know, like it was just.
Well, I'm gonna be.
I mean, we've learned. I think that people have learned since then. I almost feel like it doesn't really need to be said anymore. But like, yeah, it's been pretty bad at some points.
Yeah, that year was. I really think it was a result of not knowing the climate.
Yeah, well, that I don't blame them. As a Canadian that has no concept of that kind of weather, you can only imagine how I took it.
Yeah, humidity is something you read about in books and horror movies.
They had the convention doors like wide open with a line coming out the door, and it was like, yeah, this place is not going to stay cool. It's going to be a hot mess.
Yeah.
Oh, literally.
So,
I left that convention feeling dirty, and I was like, I just want to go home and shower.
So basically, addressing the elephant in the room, bathe. Okay, be blunt. Keep your hygiene up. bathe, use soap, use water. You know, it's just the fact of one, you're going to be running around like crazy in in these hot rooms, in these hot hotels. Maybe not as bad in April as it would be later, but still going to be kind of warm.
And to be fair, it's been I haven't really had that 2010 experience since then. Like, it's been pretty good now. Now it's been pretty good. Like, I haven't really encountered Mr. Funky. but you know, just put it out there. But yeah.
Well, and also another reason is that a lot of people, you're going to be running on like lots of caffeine and no sleep. Mm-hmm. That's just part of the convention life because you don't want to miss a minute of it. Totally. Passing out is for later. You have a convention to enjoy. And if nothing else, being shaved and well,
and a shower will wake you up.
Showers. Yeah. And you'll just feel better about yourself.
I'm someone that actually normally showers in the evenings, but when I do conventions, I shower in the mornings just because I know you're totally right. It's me like going to bed at 2 a.m. because you're just out talking to people 2 a.m. But then you're like, crap, I got to wake up for a panel at 8 o'clock, you know? So you're waking up at 7, shower, shave, but it wakes you up at least. You know, right. That water on your face does wonders that no cup of coffee ever could, you know, so.
Showers made of coffee. Mm. I have solved the world's problems.
There you go. A little sticky, though, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that has some potential for backfiring real quick.
Yeah. No burning the groin there.
But yeah, you know, just general hygiene. You know, it's just. Oh, and make sure subject of hygiene a parallel to that.
I'm sorry.
Long day, like I said. If the dress code calls for dress casual or something nicer than a pair of cut-off blue jeans and a T-top, make sure you bring something. Again, if they're asking for this, go ahead and just bring you if you don't have a pair of slacks, a pair of Dockers and a polo or something. Just
And what you're referring to is the Hall of Fame dinner slash, you know, that's something that and I have – I'm bringing two guys with me. It's going to be their first BACON. And I told them, like, you know, bring something nice. Bring, like, a nice dress shirt. You know, bring a tie. You know, okay, you don't have, like, a nice pair of dress shoes, then just bring a pair of, like, comfortable shoes at least that could work for all the days. But because there's one day out of that weekend, you know, for a couple of hours where we could look swank. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I really like the Hall of Fame dinner. Like, yeah. It's a nice little thing where we could all get together as fans and collectors and have a nice, serious, not bad meal. I'm not saying it's like, you know, five-star cuisine, but a not bad meal where we could sit down, you know, as adults and really, you know, and no toys. Don't bring the toys to the Hall of Fame dinner, please. Don't do that either.
Clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack.
Yeah. Judd Nelson's, you know, doing a speech or something or Frank last year. And, you know, you don't need that at the table. But, yeah, dress nice. Don't show up in – I mean, again, you said it's April, so I don't think flip-flops are to be called for anyways. But it's just just wear something nice for at least that. You can, to me, you can wear whatever the hell you want for the rest of the big convention weekend. But at least for the Hall of Fame dinner, like, try to make an effort a little bit, you know? Just a simple, a dress shirt, dress pants, Walmart, $5, you'll be good, you know?
Yeah, now for the Judd Nelson panel, bring your original masterpiece, Hot Rod Rodimus, so that way the sound of them breaking can sort
at
of
shoulders?
Fill the room. Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other story. I've had firsthand experience of that and the knees of a certain MP10 black. So,
ooh.
Yeah, it's in the package. Imagine I didn't even open it. It was already like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a whole other issue.
You excited about, I imagine that you already have your hot rod.
Oh, I'm, oh God. Like it's something that I knew when Derek Wyatt told me back in 2000, I think it was 2012, that he was going to be on Ben 10. I right away knew it was only a matter of time now that he was going to start doing the convention scene. Like, I almost felt like I would find him at an anime convention first. Or if we did a West Coast BotCon, there would be more of a chance because that's where his stomping grounds are. So, you know, I'm super stoked for it. I think it was done way better than I imagined because now we got this awesome pin too. Like, it's nice that they did this cool little package and you get the photo, you get the lithograph, you get something of yourself signed, you know, it's way better than I would have imagined, and perfect because it's the 30th anniversary of the 86 movie. He's without a doubt, honestly, in my opinion, the star of the movie, you know, so it couldn't have been done any better, you know. Short of like bringing Orson Welles out of the grave, you know, like you couldn't have picked a better person to represent the celebration of the 86 movie than Judd Nelson. And that's not even me being like a biased Rodimus Hot Rod fan. That's just me going like, well, you couldn't have picked anyone better. Not to mention last year we had John Machia. So you already had Blur. Who else was last year? We had RC last year, you know, so we already had a good spread of movie people last year. So this really hits the nail right on the head with who should be there, you know. For the 30th.
Well, it's, you know, it's weird how 2016 is an anniversary for so many things.
You
Beast Wars, the first Robots in Disguise, the animated movie, just a
Machine
year.
Machine Robo. Well, specifically the anime Revenge of Cronus. That's why we're getting that that special figure line there.
Eventually.
Eventually, I hope. Yeah, me too. I'm also kind of like, what's happening with those?
Let's see. They're just going to show those prototypes until the end.
Forever. I swear that's all I've been seeing. It's
basically, it'll be Master Asia all over again.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. We just see prototypes.
How long have they
been
doing those prototypes for?
I don't know. The funny thing, like, just not to go off, I felt like we've been seeing those prototypes since, like, last BotCon. You know, like, we've been talking about them forever, and now we got color ones that are like showing up at all these little like Asia events and stuff. But I mean, it has to come out at least before this year is up, because then the whole purpose of this set this line that's being released would lose its purpose. You know, it's supposed to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the anime of Machine Robo, which what all those characters are based on. I mean, for people that are listening, it's not really a GoBots thing. Like the reason why they're using Phytor is not because it's Phytor. It's because he was Blue Jet from Machine Robo, who was a main character. Same thing with you know him as a
Phytor.
Screwhead.
No.
You know, you have Screwhead. He was a main character in Machine Robo, but he was called Rod Drill. So. It's a whole other story. it's a whole other line, but if you do your research on it, you'll see it was a big deal in Japan, and so it's really cool that we're getting a little, I don't know, we'll call it a classics line. I don't want to say masterpiece, because if you look at them carefully, they're not really like super complex engineering, but they look like more like of a classics kind of line of GoBot toys.
Let's see here. Okay, as far as BotCon goes, we've talked about the dealer room, talked about panels, we talked about etiquette.
I could like give people advice. Like a lot of people were asking me like what they should bring. Like I always say, keep in mind all autographs are free except for Judd. So plan out, you know, some stuff to bring to get autographs. You know, like I mean, even if you don't want like certain people. I mean, it sometimes, you know, you might regret it later, you know. So if you're like, oh, I don't want David Kaye's autograph, think about it. Maybe if you have a Megatron, bring it with, you know. There's so many autographs that you could get there. There's a lot of guests now. Aaron Archer, I think, was added to it also. So between that and Aaron Archer and everything, you have a nice, you know, spread of interesting guests you could get voices from. I mean, excuse me, autographs from. Couple with the fact that, you know, think about bringing, you know, swimming clothing, because there's a swimming pool usually at these conventions. You know, make the best of the weekend. There's also going to be Stan Bush and Vince DiCola there. So, I mean, they haven't said anything, but probably I'm going to take a good guess. They're probably going to be signing autographs too at some point. You know, so, you know, bust out your old 86 movie CD or vinyl if you got it. you know, it's just, it's something that really, like, plan out with the little that you know, try to plan out to make the best weekend you can for yourself. I know that Duron wanted to talk about what was located in proximity of the convention.
Yeah, I have like a whole list of that stuff.
Okay, because that's also, I always suggest, don't go crazy when it comes, and take it from the Canadian who always has to pay in American dollars, so it's always more expensive for me too. But try to find a way to eat cheap. If there's something that's more of a grocery store or whatever, pick that stuff up, eat cheaper. Every dollar that you save is a dollar more for the dealer room. And I know that sounds corny, but it's so true. And you could like save a lot of money if you decide not to eat McDonald's breakfast, lunch, and dinner during BotCon weekend. You know, you could save a lot of money.
Right. But, you know? But also on the flip side of that, because I know a friend of a friend of a friend kind of thing, he would not go anywhere and do anything, and he pretty much ate nothing except in the room, which is fine if you want to do that. I mean, he brought food with him, and because there was a refrigerator, I guess, or whatever the case was, but he also didn't go anywhere with anybody.
Well, if everyone wants to have that, like that one crazy trip to the one restaurant, that's cool. That's fine. But I'm like, I would see a lot of times, like when we would do our BotCon Pasadena ones, which they're right next to that expensive like outdoor mall there.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I would see them in the morning because the only thing that's really open, there's a Starbucks, and everyone would go there and get an expensive ass breakfast. Like from a Starbucks, which is like, you know, like your $7 egg sandwich that you just don't need to have. And people would, and it's crazy because right next to it was a grocery store. And I would be like, man, just pick up some rolls, eat that in the morning, you know, just get some carbs in you or something, and you're good to go. You just blew $7 that you could have spent on a deluxe toy in the dealer room. Like, I mean, that's, I know it sounds crazy when I say it, but it's just, it adds up really fast. It really does, especially when you're there for 4 days and you factor in how much you could be saving. If you just eat a little more smart, you could get a lot of money back out of that. And to, you know, take it from me, like a lot of the, all that, that's all operation combination shit there. You know, that stuff didn't come because I'm rich or something. That comes from being smart with my money. You know, I've done panels on that, you know, just how to twist every dollar. Works that way.
Yeah, that's if you're like me, your room has a fridge in it, so you could probably go and get something and stick it in there for.
And there's actually a secret. There's a secret how if you want to get a fridge in your room, I probably shouldn't be saying this because then everyone's going to abuse it. But if you want a fridge in your room for free when you're at a hotel, one way to do that is you tell them that you have medication that needs to be refrigerated. And they will actually bring up a fridge for you for free, no charge for your room. I know it's a dirty pool technique, but it works every time, and I know a lot of guys that do that. Because the hotel will give you a free complimentary fridge if you have some kind of medication. Yeah, that needs
TFYLP to. Makes no claims.
Yes. The words of Protoman do not reflect the insanity of TFYLP, nor does it reflect – anyway, yeah, but you get the drill. But but that's that.
No, we don't, because he's not out yet.
Yeah. if you do have – like I know not all – probably this hotel won't have like a microwave and like a fridge. I don't know. Usually they do, some of them, but I know that Disney did. But if you end up with a microwave and a fridge in your room, or if you have – I mean every hotel room has the coffee kettle, you know, where you could boil water. You bring some cup noodle ramens or whatever. You could ghetto style that thing and really stretch your food budget as much as possible if you really want to. You have the resource from it. I mean, if you want to go like super ghetto, get some, you know, get a loaf of bread, get some slices of cheese, you know, take that iron that's in the room, make some grilled cheese, you know, like it sounds so ghetto. But I'm just saying.
You need more iron in your diet?
Yeah. You get some nice calcium and fiber in you. You know?
But also, you know, go out with friends.
Again, totally. Totally. To me, that's what makes BotCon important, is the elbow rubbing of hanging out
and
with people.
Especially with this being the last BotCon as we know it. This is your last chance to see all your friends. So, again, this is all just generalizations based on our own experiences. But
personally,
have fun. See your friends. Go out. Go bowling. Go to a movie if you've got the time. Spend the time with your friends as much as you can in and outside of the convention. We don't know when we're going to see each other again. And that's the whole point.
And the good thing is, with that location, it seems like there's a lot of stuff around there, too, that are walking distance, which is really good.
I got some, like... Well, I don't know how close all this stuff is that Duran listed, but there is a big list. And I might... So if you're listening to this, and if you're listening to the audio podcast, if you go to the YouTube video that we... that's on our YouTube page. There's a whole list of, you know, local attractions and eateries. I'm going to go through some of them, probably not most of them, because I don't want to ramble on like names of stuff for the next 10 minutes. But Duran brought up some sites. There's a Fraser Museum, the Derby Museum. You got the Louisville Slugger Museum, Mega Cavern, Mammoth Cave. There's a bunch of eateries around that he recommends. A place I've heard of just from some of the people talking, the Brown Hotel, which apparently is the birthplace of Hot Brown, whatever that is. I think I've seen a picture of it. It's a daunting looking plate for sure. You got places, there's some burger joints nearby, a place called Buns that he recommends. You got some pizza places, he recommends a place called Beer Nose. You've got some pubs. Yeah, he says there's a bunch of local breweries. You know, you can they all do tours. You can go and see how your favorite alcohols are made. And maybe get a drink or two. You got places like Muscle and Burger Bar. You know, you can't go wrong with burgers. Yeah, he says one here that he highly recommends is a place called Wild Eggs, and it's a breakfast restaurant. If you can get into it, they feature locally produced food. So you're also helping the local economy. But that's some of the lists. I'm not going to ramble all of them off because it's not very entertaining.
It'll be posted.
It'll be posted. It'll probably go up on our Facebook as well.
And for all we know, you're going to show up and then everyone's just going to go to something and you'll just get wrapped into that and that'll be the end of it. So,
and it's America. So there's a McDonald's at every corner
and it's cheap. If you're someone who's Canadian and this is your first time, you're going to be surprised how cheap the menu is. You won't be able to handle it like me. Literally, I'm not joking. I am going to go on my phone now. I took a picture of American Chicken McNuggets because they fascinated me. It's on my phone. That's how sad it is, because when I think it was last year, they were doing a special where it was like 50 nuggets for $10.
Yeah.
I want you to realize in Canada, 20 nuggets is $11.99. Okay? 50 nuggets. 50 nuggets. Mmm. 50 nuggets. That's on my phone. That's a photo I took. 50 nuggets for $10. I swear, I felt like I just wanted to just eat nuggets the whole weekend. But then, of course, I would kill myself, you know, but...
Well, you know, you might get smuggled some back across the border.
Yeah, I'll be smuggling more than just that across the border. Yeah, not all of it. It's going to still be with me because that's exactly what it's just a blockade in my stomach.
We have
nuggets back there. It's just fast food's expensive. Fast food's expensive in Canada. So you're going to be quite surprised how, even with our bad exchange right now, still how cheap it is to eat fast food.
Oh, there, so. I mean. Well, I guess we should bring this up for BotCon too, for our overseas friends coming to BotCon. Based on your individual exchange rates, there is that, so you got to take that into consideration. But make sure you bring enough stuff to take everything back. Otherwise, you'll be like a friend of mine from the UK a couple years ago, and he went and bought two suitcases at Target just to have enough stuff to take everything back with him, because he was buying it basically half UK retail when he was in the States.
Well, and also, I know that they recently put out an email, BotCon, where, you know, just like a bullet point of a whole bunch of things for anyone who registered. They mentioned actually in it that on site on the Sunday, there's going to be a FedEx shipping company in the deal room. Let me just pull it up. I remember seeing it. Here we go. They're going to have United Postal Service and FedEx is going to be there. So if you need to ship stuff back. And, yeah. And I know they did that with Disney too. I think FedEx or UPS was in the dealer room. So you could ship stuff out. Also, what I suggest from an exchange thing, and this is personal experience myself, take cash, because obviously the deal room is going to primarily focus on using cash. But what I do suggest is any chance you get that you could use a credit card instead, go for it. Because I feel that, number one, when you then go for the pay your credit card, you're able to kind of manipulate the exchange rate to your favor, because you could go, okay, I'm going to pay my credit card today. Oh, exchange isn't that good right now. Maybe I'll wait till tomorrow. You know, it's kind of like when you're putting gas in your tank, you want to see when the best rate is. It's kind of like that. But also on top of it, it keeps your cash for more important stuff.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Like, give an example. Most people, their biggest expenditure over the weekend is going to be going to the club store to get the at-show exclusives, the souvenirs. I suggest pay all of that credit card. Get that all that – swipe all of that. Do that credit card. That way – because, I mean, that right where – that could add up to, you know, potentially $300 to $500 depending on the individual. So swipe all of that. And any guy in the deal room that's offering a credit card option, I know that Orson is an example of that. He Captured Prey would have the credit card option. I know TF Source does. I know Big Bad Toy Store does. If they have that option, same thing. Use the credit card. That way you keep the cash for when you really need it for those guys who don't have that. Because the worst thing is to go to the – like Azusa. Go to the Japanese guys who don't use credit card and go, oh, man, they got this, you know, so-and-so figure I really want, but I used all my cash and they don't take credit card. Yeah. So always try to keep your cash as the backup.
Well, now, we had brought this up earlier before you popped on, Daniel.
Okay,
but,
good.
But one thing I had said – now, this was me back in the earlier days before you had PayPal and all these – and prepaid credit cards.
And Square.
Square. I had mentioned American Express Traveler's Checks. Now, is that with
I don't know if honestly that's the thing
again is, that's me back in
when that was a thing. Yeah. It's not so much now, because, like, to give you an example, Tony Presto and Azusa, they come from places where credit cards aren't a thing. You know what I mean? Like, they both have that, like, where it's cash is the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you have guys like, what's his name? Super Toy Archive. Ugh. Guy with glasses, bald. I'm trying to remember his name. He always has a dealer table every year. Him too. Like, some guys are just cash is the name of the game. There's nothing, but they have great stuff at their table. But unfortunately, you know, they have great stuff. It's 3-digit items, but it's only cash that they deal in. So really try to just manage your money that if you could swipe like in every possible, even if you have the money, just it's better to go home and still have the cash than to not have any cash at all and really rely on a credit card, because you never know. Even on the way home, you might be in a scenario where you'll need cash. You never know. So, you know, if you're driving in or if you're flying out, it's better to keep the cash as much as possible. And that's someone who, you know, if you're American, you always have money on you anyways. But as a Canadian, you know, you don't normally carry American currency. So you, not to mention, we're so not used to looking at your money, because us, we have Monopoly money. We're all color based.
Yeah.
So we know five is blue. You know, we open an American wallet and we're like, oh man, everything looks the same. So we have to look carefully. And what's hilarious too is because we don't have singles, like we don't have ones at all. So what's crazy is we'll always we'll open up our wallet and go, man, I got a lot of money, but it's just like 20 ones, you know? Because we're not used to that. We're not, because like the smallest bill we have is a five, and so if you had like 20 of those, okay, you're not bad. But I mean, we haven't had an American. We haven't had a Canadian $1 bill since like, God, 1991 maybe was the last time it was in circulation.
Well, if you buy something for less than five, do you get it all back in change?
Yes, we have. Oh man, I don't have it on me. We have toonies and loonies, which is $1 coin, $2 coins.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
It's more for counterfeit reasons. That way no one could counterfeit it, number one. And number two, it's cheaper pretty much to do coins. Like, to give you an example, like somewhere like Japan, their equivalency of currency goes up to the equivalency of us, like that would be $10. It's all in coin before it starts becoming bills. So as a Canadian, giving advice to people who are also not of the States, just try to keep your cash, because cash is the name of the game there. Not to mention, even if you're driving in, that was another thing too. In Canada, tolls aren't really a big deal. Like, we don't really have tolls in Canada. They're in some places, but not really. In the States, man, you guys with your tolls. That's how you pay your roads. I understand that.
Yeah.
But man, you guys got tolls everywhere. But here's the thing with tolls. Yeah. You got to have change waiting ready to go. You don't want to be – because what happened to us, we're like, oh, shit, a toll. Hey, does anyone have 44 cents or whatever? And we're all just like, no one has 44 cents. You know, like, it's because some tolls could be $5. Some tolls could be $1. You know, it really – so keep your change, because you don't know what you're going to encounter driving around or moving around.
Well, I was going to bring up that exact same thing when we wrapped up with any miscellaneous things, was that the route that I'm taking in, I want to be on the West Virginia Turnpike, and there are tolls on the West Virginia Turnpike.
Like crazy. I know, me too. I'm driving in that way.
Yep. So before you leave, go to your bank and get a roll of quarters.
Change, not bills, because you're going to lose your bills. Some of them, they're not a person at a booth. Some of them is
automated.
Yeah, you just throw that thing in. You're going to lose your five, bro. You know what I mean? Or you're going to lose your one. So have change, change. And also, you don't want to be that guy who's holding up the whole line too.
Yeah.
Just because you're like, you know, you're screwed, because they come fast. You know, it's like, oh, toll coming, and then 5 seconds later, there it is.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys mentioned this, because I didn't even think about this, because in Florida, I'm used to having –
I think about it because I encounter it all the time as a Canadian who goes, oh, crap, not used to this.
Yeah.
Because here in Florida, we have a transponder that we can buy and put in our cars.
Basically fast pass.
Like an easy pass.
Exactly. Yeah. I have one of those, so I have a throw change into a bin and forever.
Yeah.
Think about that.
But for someone like me, you know, living here in the South, we really don't have that many toll roads in the area in which I travel normally. Only when I go to BotCon or TFCon do I ever hit the turnpikes that have these tolls, and they can be $2.50 or $3.50.
Or even more.
Or God, more.
I've been on $9 ones, imagine. Like,
And that's all I have, is like, there's no one there, and you have to pay the toll, and it's like, okay, here's my quarters. You just start throwing quarters in the funnel.
And you got like 12 cars behind you waiting for you, which
is
like the worst thing ever too. And then they see your license plate, and it's like, Quebec? Where the hell is that? You know? What the hell is a Quebec? It's like, oh, some foreigner, you know, it just makes you look terrible.
Are you in?
I was just saying, the average American is not calling it Quebec; they're calling it Quebec.
but are you in old Quebec? Because there's a slight difference.
Yeah, well, no, I'm a neo-Québécois, as the French put it, you know, which is we're not a separatist. I was
in Old Quebec many years ago, and as a student learning French in American high school, we murdered your language, so I apologize retroactively for my class.
Oh, you don't have to be sorry. I'm off the record. I'm not a fan of French either. C'est pas un problème avec moi, mais je pas aime parler cette langue comme ça. You know, it's just I don't like speaking it personally.
Okay, we've covered bathing, we've covered dealer's room, covered tolls,
covered language.
We've covered eating. Michael's having some kind of seizure, apparently. Is there anything about BotCon that we have not brought up yet?
I guess you could just talk over, like, you know, pickup's going to be probably at 5 p.m. ish on Thursday, I guess, right? Or depending on your individual paper.
Yeah, or late pickup Friday morning.
Yeah, I might as well go over that.
We already have.
Okay, so yeah, so just the I mean, has there been a proper schedule shown yet, eh? Nothing to that knowledge.
Yeah, I thought there was a schedule posted online.
You know, I can't really think of much I could say, especially when it comes to a location that we haven't been to yet. You know, like, we've been to Kentucky in the past, but not Louisville. So yeah. I'm not familiar with that one. Cause I think 2001 was in Kentucky. No, which one was in Kentucky? That was it 2003 or something? I remember we were in Kentucky for one of them, but it wasn't Louisville. So I'm not familiar with that location. So there's no, like, really good advice I could give about that one. We're like Pasadena. We've been to it like 6 times now. So
yeah,
everyone could give advice on that one. I love Pasadena. I still think that's the best BotCon.
Well, when it comes down to it, if anyone has any questions and you're part of our Facebook page, and if you're not part of our Facebook page, you should join it. We have some locals on our cast. Duran and Insane Galvatron, Greg, they both live in Kentucky. There are a few others that are located within and around Kentucky that are more familiar with that area. They can answer your questions if you have them. And that's what we're here for, and that's what that group's for, is, you know, to help each other out and to converse with fellow fans. So if you have any questions, go to our Facebook page.
And make your experience easier, you know, because BotCon could be a little overwhelming at times. It's a big show, you know, it's our Woodstock, if anything, you know? Yeah. So,
and what I'll do is I'll reach out as well. I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR. And if you've got a question about BotCon, I will do my best to answer it. So just tweet it out to me and I'll answer it if need be. So I'll help out that way too on Twitter.
And don't bother asking me. I can't answer your questions.
Well, he can tell you how to build those nice little detolfs in the back. And
I got pretty good at those after assembling. How many of them do I have?
There's a science to it. Yeah.
9 of them, 10 of them.
Just don't build the railings backwards like I posted on Facebook. that infuriated me when I saw that.
Why'd you bite me?
I had some wonderful times with these things because, you know, IKEA is great for pretty cheap and reliable furniture.
Glass for $50 is unrivaled in my opinion. Like, these things, this is like thousands of dollars. You have no idea. So when people are like, oh my god, IKEA is so expensive, I'm like, no, tempered glass for $50 of that size is amazing. Like, I don't know where the hell they're getting their glass for that cheap. That's why detofs are so popular, because you couldn't build that yourself from scratch. That cheap.
Just be wary that they're heavy. If you're missing a part, it's very hard to get back to the store. Because I opened one up that was missing a part, and I was just like, oh no.
Well, the good thing with them is they don't have a lot of pieces to them. It's the rubber. Yeah. You have the rubber bungs. You know, you got the two railings, the four pieces of glass, the top, the bottom, and that's really it. And then it's all screws and stuff. They're simple to build. So yeah,
they're excellent.
They are. They're good for what they do. They're not perfect, but they're really good for what they do.
I have to dust like way less than I ever used to.
Totally
have.
Well. And that's the most important thing.
In Florida, no joke, I can go take a picture of anything in here. It is a dusty state.
It's the heat.
I can only imagine.
All right. Well, let's see here. Is there anything else we need to bring up about BotCon etiquette?
I could just say if you want to check out the best tables, I think personally, if you're a big Japanese guy, go to Azusa's table first. I find he usually has
after me.
Oh, you're gonna have a table there?
No. Go. Let me go to Azusa's first.
Okay. But I do suggest Azusa's table. I find that he always has really good stuff, and he's someone that you have to constantly be going back to his table doesn't put everything out at once. You have like he slowly puts everything out towards the weekend.
There are some gems that have appeared overnight.
The thing with Azusa is his perception is okay, not very valuable in Japan, not very valuable here. No, that's not how it works, Azusa. Don't tell him that. But that's what I like about him, where he'll look at him like a Beast Wars Ravage X9. Mint in box and go, 4,000 yen in Japan, 4,000 yen here. No, Azusa, that's not a $40 item, but okay, thank you very much.
If he wants to sell it for $40, I'm not.
He's done that twice. He had two of them. They were both gone instantly, but he did that twice. And, I saw it and I was like, well, I already have one and I'm not greedy, you know? Yeah. But, like, his prices are, we call it a Japanese rarity price, which is, from his perspective, that's what it's worth. And he's the best table for that kind of stuff because to give an example, and I don't want to I'm not going to name stores, but certain stores are asking like for Shockwave right now, Masterpiece Shockwave that's coming out. God, I think it's out right now.
It's out now.
Certain stores are asking for Masterpiece Shockwave American. They're asking 160, 170 in Japan. He's 1,200 yen. Excuse me. 12,000 yen, which is the equivalency of about $120. So if you go to Azusa, who's not paying shipping, he's going to bring Masterpiece toys and put them at probably those Japanese prices, he's probably going to be one of the first tables you're going to want to go to if you have a specific Masterpiece you're looking for. I'm not saying he's going to have them all, but I'm just saying whatever's going to probably be new or hot that weekend, he'll probably have, and it'll probably be the best price. And that's, again, I don't want to knock other stores. I shop at those other stores too for other things. But I think that when it comes to your Masterpiece needs, your G1 Japan needs, or just the weird and obscure, he's the best table to go to. And he gives away stuff for free all the time too, which is the best bonus of it all.
But I will say this, if he gives you the green tea Kit Kat,
take it.
I wasn't real thrilled with the green tea Kit Kat. Sorry.
Him and Hydra, also known as Andrew, usually bring Japanese treats and stuff too. He had the green tea, he had the taro one, and he had the peach one. And so, if you could get something free from them, try it out. I mean, Don didn't like it, but.
Peach Kit Kat sounds interesting.
Oh, was they're all good. They're all good. The taro one's really good. Taro is like it's like a fruit that has like a chocolatey taste to it. I don't know how to describe it, but it's really good too.
So,
what else? I'm trying to think of what else.
Oh, there was something that was on my mind that just went away.
Confirmed Derek Wyatt's going to be there too, I believe. He's just not officially announced as a guest. He's going to have a table. So he's also another. Because just looking at my wall. I'm like, oh, yeah, animated toys. Yeah, Derek's going to be there. That's another thing I guess I could suggest, too. If you're looking to get commissions done by specific artists, what I suggest is probably going on their Twitter page. Because one way to really speed up your commission process is a lot of artists, what they do is they do what's called pre-commissions, which is it's good for them too, because it helps them out, which is if you're like, oh, I really want to get this job done or this piece of art done by, let's say, Josh Perez, right? Josh Perez and a lot of other artists, they're taking pre-commissions, which is like, hey, send me the PayPal money, say what you want, and I'll have it done for you by the time BotCon rolls around. That way you don't have to come to my table and, you know, get on a list and come back to me every 5 seconds and go, are you done yet? Did you do mine? You know what I mean? So a lot of those guys, I know Marcelo is doing that, Perez is doing that, Matt Frank is doing that. I don't think Milne is doing that. I think he's already booked up. But there's a lot of guys that they do that. So if you go on their Facebook, ask them. Just ask your favorite artists on Facebook or Twitter if they're doing pre-commissions, and you could get that out of the way. So it's something that when you get to the show, you could get a boom done. You know, it's like you could worry about other things the rest of the weekend. That's another thing too. What else?
Beware the Saturday price hike.
Well, that's the oldest trick in the book is usually on Sundays when things start to, you know, like last hour of Sunday, some guys just don't want to go back with the stuff. So that's your best time if you want to make a deal. The flip side of that, though, is that thing that you might have been eyeing the whole weekend that you're waiting for the last hour of the Sunday to make a deal, it might also potentially be gone. Yeah. So,
well, I can attest to that because
I was like, huh, Road Caesar for $1,000. Man, no one's gonna buy that. I'm gonna come back later and try to get it from him. Yeah, it was gone. You know, so
yeah,
someone paid that. I don't know who, but you know, so there's always examples of that.
As someone who owns Road Caesar, I'm sorry they paid that for that figure.
Yeah, I know. Well, I have like two pieces of it. Like, damn it. Oh, you can't really see it from here, but I have two pieces of them. I'm just trying to get a proper blacker to like finish it. And if I have to buy a whole set, and then I'll just sell the other two or whatever. But because I don't really find singles of them very easily, but through my Japanese sources. But there's so many box sets that I come across. They're just so not cheap right now. They really are not. That and Grandis, my goodness.
Yeah, get Dagbase. He's
yeah. Better. I have Dagbase. Dagbase is cheap. Dagbase you can get for $150 mint in box.
Well, wow, I got mine for $40.
There you go. Exactly. That just gives you an idea of how cheap you could get him.
Yeah.
But then you're talking Grandis, $1,000. You know, yeah. Yeah. And Dagbase has more stuff too, which is kind of even more sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if we're gonna sum everything up, go to BotCon, have fun, be polite, sleep, shower, and just
don't worry about fitting in. You're in a room filled with everyone who likes the same thing you do, which really helps when it comes to breaking the ice, you know? So don't worry about that. If you want to come and take pictures of me, you know, it's $5, but you know, this BotCon weekend, it's free. So
why do they want to break their camera?
Yeah. There we go. but no, it just, have a good time. You know, it's we're not going to get another chance like this as far as we know. So try to make the best of it. Really try to make the best of it. And buy some cool stuff.
Someone cosplay as Massey.
They're just going to think it was from a furry convention. That's the problem. They're just going to be like, oh, God, it's one of those furries and only Dawn's going to get it, you know? He's like, no, it's not a furry. It's Massey. I get it.
Well, they'll say, he's from Zootopia. No, he's not from Zootopia. No,
yeah, it's not Zootopia.
Anyway, also, this is just for me. Everybody flying in, driving in, taking a train, taking a mega bus, whatever the case may be, be safe, be careful, get there and get home. And just come and let's have fun this last BotCon to make sure it's one to remember for all the right reasons.
Totally. That's all could be said, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, we somehow squeezed like almost 2 hours out of that, and when we thought it was going to be maybe 30 minutes when it was just being done.
Ha ha! Fooled you.
Yeah, that's our April Fool's joke. It's not very funny. And
yeah, Masterpiece Astro Train. Anyways.
that was just like, we've seen so many fakes, like that jazz.
No, but you know, at least do something that's like, you know, where you like, yeah, it's April Fool's, but maybe it could be real. Man, we have a freaking like Voyager coming soon. Why would they do that? Yeah. You know,
or at least go really out there with it, like masterpiece.
Like, you know, when they did the Pikachu one, you know, like,
oh,
I
that
was
one
like,
was great.
No, but I was like, that was something that it's like, okay, maybe it's fake, maybe it's not, but I kind of hope it's real. Where this Astro Chain, we were just like, oh, come on, you could have done better than that. You know, yeah. Like, why didn't you say, like, I don't know, like DevCon or something? You know, like, just go out there. Do something like, or like RC. Something.
Or what they could have said was that they're doing an encore reissue of Safety Megatron.
There you go, exactly. Like, do something, like, really out there. Like, that one, everyone knew it wasn't real. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been episode 195 of TFYLP. Once again, I was joined by Proto Man.
Yo.
Headmaster Don.
Yo.
I'm Sideburn, your host. We'll see you next week, maybe at Buckon. Oh, and I guess I'm going to address... So next week's episode, we're not sure if we're having one. It's a high likelihood that we're not. It's BotCon week after all. If you're at BotCon, you might see us walking around. And like Don said, have some fun. Feel free to say hi.
Yeah. And let us know what you think of the show. You know, give us
feedback's good.
Yeah, you know, give us feedback. I mean, you know, whatever we can do to make the show better for you, let us know.
I apologize in advance.
Everyone, take care and have a great BotCon.
Yep. See ya.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.